Amen.
Amen. Jenny, it's down to you.
Well, thank you very much. It's wonderful to be with you all again. It doesn't seem possible that it was those months ago that I was actually here before. And for those of you that were here, you may remember that I was talking about transitions and how there are transitions in our life. Things never stay the same. There are transitions in our weather. It should be spring, but it changes, doesn't it? But hopefully, we still go from winter, spring, summer, through to autumn. And you may remember that I didn't have any idea at all that Mark and Cheryl would be moving, they'd be going overseas, and I really felt that God was saying that he was going to change the leadership here. Now, I don't know what is happening. No one has told me anything this morning. Only you know what's going on. But as I was preparing this, you still don't know what's going on, okay. But as I was preparing this, I was thinking, Lord, what is it that I am to speak about? It's difficult to choose. The Bible's a big book. How do you know what to speak on? And the more I prayed about it, the more I was thinking about it, I just felt that God was saying that this is the time for you to continue walking with Jesus, and that we grow together in our relationship with him. We grow in maturity. So we grow in Christian maturity and we grow in our ministry. It doesn't matter if you've only been a Christian for a short while, you're still growing spiritually if you're open to Jesus. It doesn't matter if you've walked with Jesus many, many years like I have. Well, I'm still heading towards growing in spiritual maturity. I'm not so sure about the other sort of maturity because, as you know, I'm pretty crazy most of the time. I'm always mucking about. I can't be sensible for too long. Well, we're not actually focusing on being absolutely mature, so I'm glad about that. We're focusing on being spiritually mature. So it's quite crazy that that's how I know I can appear to you, because I am crazy, and I think, well, goodness me, how can I be talking about maturity? Because I don't feel very mature myself. I'm always saying I'm young, really. Definitely. And as I'm getting older, I'm actually getting younger. But anyway, spiritual maturity, growing in spiritual maturity and growing in ministry. Now, we might be sitting there thinking, well, I haven't got any ministry. We all have ministry, whether it's the washing up ministry that I do in the cafe, Cafe Zest in town. It's helping. It's being a blessing to people. So we've all got ministry of some sort or another. And as we had that wonderful word that was given to us today, that God wants to use us. And that is so true. And it's about being open and discovering how God wants to use us, how God wants to grow us. So that's the focus of what we're thinking about today. And if you have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Colossians and chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. And of course, this letter was written to the Christians at Colossae by the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul had a real heart for these believers. He really wanted them to grow and to mature. He wanted them to become everything that God had got for them. And so, beginning at verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the good news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Now we're coming up to verse 12. This is our key verse, Epaphras. Who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I'm going to read that particular verse from another translation, the Phillips translation, and it says this. It says that you may become mature Christians and that you may fulfill God's word for you. That you may become mature Christians and that you may fulfill God's will for you. Wow. That is the heart of Epaphras for these believers at Colossae. And as I'm preparing this, I'm just saying, gosh, Lord, I just feel this in my heart for you this morning. That no matter all that information that you don't know about what's happening, it's that you stand, that you become mature in Christ, and that you fulfill God's will for you. That you fulfill God's will for you as individuals and God's will for you collectively. So hold that thought and I'm going to show you a visual aid. A lambsy. Now, yes, you know I'm crazy. I can't help it. Some years ago, a dear Christian friend of mine, she gave me this gift. Lovely lambsy. Because she knows I've been a lambsy for many years. And you'll notice that this lambsy is wearing a jumper. But this jumper is too big for the lambsy. And she said to me, I just feel that God is saying to you that you're going to grow in your relationship with Jesus, and you're going to grow in ministry that God has given to you. And you know, every time I look at this, I think, what a wonderful illustration that is. Now, as I said before, I've been a Christian for many years. And when I look back, I might think, well, I don't feel I've grown very much in my relationship with Jesus. There's still more room. I think the jumper might still be a little bit baggy on me. And it's nothing to do with this. I might have filled it out in the odd corner because of this. But we're talking about spiritual maturity, aren't we? Growing in him and our relationship with him. And as I think for myself about ministry, when she first gave this to me, I was just starting out. So I think as far as ministry is going, I think I am growing out my jumper a little bit. And I've been saying, Lord, are you going to give me a bigger jumper? Not that I can eat loads, but that I can grow into it more spiritually. And you know, I think this is a wonderful picture for all of us. There's always room to grow. To grow in our relationship with him and to grow in the ministry that God has given to us. So I'm going to leave that on there so you might be able to see it. Or actually I might leave it up here. I'll put it there, then some of you can see it. Growing in God, growing in our ministry with him. And so for some time I've been feeling that the Lord's been giving me a bit of a nudge to speak about this. As I've already said, to be honest, I don't really feel qualified to speak about maturity because I'm the craziest person for my age. And yet, I think, well, God, you've put this on my heart, so I'm going to share it. But as I share this information with you this morning, I just want to encourage you that actually I'm the one that particularly needs to hear this. So as we go through this together, let's just have open hearts and say, Lord, how do you want to speak to me? How can I mature more in my relationship with you? What can I do to help me mature? Where can I move from where I am now to the next step that you want me to take? And also, let's be open and say, okay, God, what ministry is it that you've got for me? What are you calling me to do? We can look at that word ministry and think it's some big thing. It's about being up front in church. But it's not. It's everything. It's anything that God has gifted you with. He's called you to do. It's about blessing others. So, we've all got ministry. And I just want to say that I'm not suggesting that anybody here is immature. I'm not suggesting that. Gosh, I'm really immature. But it's about moving more forward. Because I sense that God wants to strengthen us in our individual lives with him, but also collectively at this time where you are in your walk with God and in church together. God wants to strengthen you, to make you strong, so that you can stand more firmly in him. So we're looking at growing in ministry and what it takes to grow. The purpose of growing in ministry. And again, thinking about Mr. Epaphras. He had this incredible heart, this passion for the believers, that they would move on, that they wouldn't stay where they were, but that they would keep on growing. And so, that is God's will for us, that we don't stay still, but we keep on moving forward. Ephesians 4, verses 14 to 15. Paul was saying that we're not meant to remain as children, but to grow up in every way into Christ. Wow, it's an incredible challenge, isn't it? Because it's so much easier to stay where we are and not to want to move forward, not to want to keep on pressing towards that prize, that goal that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm sure we know some people that sadly, because they're not well, they have mature bodies, but emotionally they're like children. That's very sad, isn't it? And we say, oh dear, that is so sad for that person. It's so sad for the people that are caring for those that are like that. But actually, we can also think, when we come across these people, gosh, but how much have I actually grown spiritually in my life, in my walk with Jesus? Have I stayed the same? Has my growth been stunted? Or am I growing? Am I learning more about him? Am I learning more how much he loves me? Am I learning more that he trusts me? And as we heard that illustration earlier about being a bit wobbly. Now, we all get wobbly when life is hard. But maybe as we continue to grow, we get a little bit less wobbly, because we're learning more that he does love me, that he is with me, that he does answer my prayer, that he will help me in this situation. That's a sign of spiritual maturity. I can remember a time in my life, I was so anxious, I used to get myself in such a state. And I used to phone this particular friend, bless her heart. It's all right, Jen. The Lord's with you. And after a period of time, I found that I didn't need to do that anymore. because I was learning little bit by little, tiny steps. I can only do tiny steps. But that's how he leads us, that's how he guides us forward. He doesn't expect us to be great big spiritual giants immediately, does he? No. He takes us by the hand and leads us one step at a time. And he is so patient with us. It's amazing. I would have given up on myself years ago. But he doesn't. So, what can we try to do ourselves? What habits can we try and take on board that will help us to mature more as Christians? Well, in order to grow, we need to eat, don't we? As you can see, I love my food. There's no question about it. But as Christians, we need to eat the Word of God. Now, some years ago, I was praying with this friend of mine, and as I was praying with her, I had this picture in my mind's eye, and I started to laugh, because all I could see was her teeth literally around the Bible. And afterwards, I said, well, I'm sorry, I was laughing. She said, why were you laughing? I said, because I can just see your teeth. It's like you're taking a great big chunk out of the Bible. And she said, wow, God has really been speaking to me lately about eating his word. Hallelujah. That is actually going to be the main focus that we're going to look at this morning. There's various aspects that we could look at, but we don't have the time. But we're going to be focusing in on the Word of God, because that's how we grow, isn't it? The Word of God feeds us. In order to grow spiritually more and to mature, we need to breathe. If I held my breath, I'd be a blue Lamsey standing here, wouldn't I? And of course, that talks about prayer, the importance of prayer. Now, some of us find praying better than reading the Bible. Some of us find reading the Bible better than praying. And some of us may be struggling with both. Well, don't feel bad. I want to pray for you this morning that God would give you a hunger for prayer, and a hunger in particular for the Word of God. So just hold those thoughts. I really want to pray with you, oh, that you'll get such a burning in your heart for God's word. I heard a prophetic word that was given actually at the beginning of the year, saying that God was going to reignite a passion for his word among his people. And when I looked at that, I thought, well, yeah, I need that. And I think church in this nation needs that. We need that, don't we? Because we're not eating, we're not feeding off the word. We're wondering why we're struggling spiritually. It's just so important. In order to grow, we need good spiritual hygiene. Well, what do we mean by that? It's about confessing our sin when we've done something wrong, that we are open to God and we say, I'm really sorry about that, God. I'm really sorry that I did that, I thought that, I said that. And of course, immediately, he forgives us and washes us clean. In order to grow, we need a good church family that you've got here. It's so important, because we're here not only to worship God together, but to encourage, pray for one another, and build one another up. In order to grow, we need protection from temptation. Cool, that's hard, especially when you like your food. I'm just trying to be a little bit conscious about what I put in my grape choppers, because I love my food so much. And you know what? Yesterday, there wasn't just one situation of temptation that was right in front of my eyes. There was three. Three. Oh, dear. In the morning, I was at a coffee morning. These whacking great cakes, they were enormous. They weren't just little slithers. They were massive. And then in the afternoon, there was more cakes. And then in the evening, Mark and I went to a birthday party, and there was yet more cakes. Well, I didn't eat any. Thankfully, I was able to resist temptation. Temptation is all around us. Why is it that just when I've decided that I'm going to try and be careful But what I put in the great choppers, there is all the temptation. That's what happens. And I'm sure many of us, particularly us ladies, will say, oh yeah, isn't it annoying? Really annoying. And then if we don't want to be good and we want to be bad lambses, well, there's nothing to eat that's exciting. That's what it's like, isn't it? So we need God to protect us from temptation. And the last one is about good stewardship, whether it's our money, whether it's our time, because all that we've been given, well, we just give back to God, don't we? What about facts to do with spiritual maturity? Well, sorry about this fact. It doesn't happen automatically. Well, nothing in this life does. We wished it did. Wouldn't it be lovely if it just happened immediately? No, it doesn't happen automatically. The writer to the Hebrews was saying this: you've been Christians a long time now and you ought to be teaching others, but instead you need someone to teach you again the basic things a beginner must learn about the scriptures. You're like babies who drink only milk and cannot eat solid food. And a person who is living on milk isn't very far along in the Christian life and don't know much about doing what is right. So again, the writer to the Hebrews was saying, oh, well, you've been a Christian a long time now. You should be teaching others. And it just makes us stop and think, doesn't it? How long have we been a Christian? Should we be in a position of helping, maybe teaching, guiding others? I don't mean that in a condemnatory way. Just something for us to think about. Spiritual maturity doesn't happen quickly. It's hard work. Let's be honest. It is not easy. 2 Peter 3 verse 18. Continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And that indicates that it's that growing process. It's not instantaneous. It's gradual. And again, God works with us so gradually, ministering to us. It's wonderful. 2 Peter 3 verse 8, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Unfortunately, there's no instant pill to spiritual maturity. If only I could just get my little pill box, give us all a little pill, we'll take it, go to bed, wake up, dun, 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 and we're all suddenly mature. No, it doesn't work like that. Of course, there are some people that try shortcuts. Well, if I can just get to that conference, then I'll be spiritually mature. If I can just get that CD, if I can just get, you know, that latest Christian book that everyone's talking about, if I can just go, you know, to that church where it's all happening, and if I can just get that person to pray for me, then I'll be spiritually mature. Well, I can tell you, it doesn't work. It does not work. Many years ago, Mark and I were at a time in our life where we kind of thought a little bit like that, well, we must go to this meeting and we must go to that meeting. Yeah, we had a hunger, which was great. And it was fantastic, and God used that, and we were blessed, we had a blessing, wonderful, we encountered God, yes, and I'm not saying that we don't want to encounter God like that, no, but what I am saying is that it doesn't make us spiritually mature. It's not all about the razzmatazz, the Christian experience, swinging off the chandeliers, you know, the loud, loud music, as wonderful as worship is. You know, the lights coming down, dimming low. You know, it's not all about that. That doesn't make us mature. Maturity comes through us daily, faithfully, walking, following Jesus. And when the bad times come, it's about reminding ourselves that, yeah, he still loves us. He's still with us. And when we go through those difficult times, it actually helps us to mature, because we can do nothing else but cling on to him and say, oh God, I've got nowhere else to go. You're the only one that can help me. So spiritual maturity won't happen without discipline. 1 Timothy 4 verse 7. Take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Oh, any good at being physically fit? I like swimming. Yeah, you do, but oh, of course you do the running. So you're really physically fit. I like a bit of the old swimming. I'm just like an old whale gradually going up and down the slow lane, pulling faces at the lifeguard as I go. I do, honestly. You're not surprised, are you? That's what I do. There was one lady there last time I went swimming, and there's these little blue bands that they wear around the wrist, and every time you do two lengths at Moat Park, beep, you know, it kind of counts it up. And I was watching her, and 86, I was thinking, and she's carrying up and down, 88, I thought she'll finish when she gets to 100, she's still going on, 120, and she said, I'm going to do 200. Wow, I have to say that I came out of there, in fact, quite inspired to be a little bit more physically fit. But you know, it's not easy. You know how hard it is. The training that you have to put in. The sleep you need. You have to eat right, drink right, and all the rest of it. That's wonderful. But to be spiritually fit, we can't just... We have to actually decide to do something about it, don't we? We have to make that decision. And maybe we might think, well, I don't know. I haven't got the hunger for God that I wish I had, or that I used to have. And I pray today that God will reignite that hunger in your heart for him. So, the Bible teaches that mature believers are called disciples. So, that term the Bible uses, that's what it means. A disciple is a mature believer. The Bible teaches that I cannot be a disciple without being disciplined. We don't like being disciplined, do we? In fact, the two words go together, disciple and discipline. But the Lord disciplines us in such a way that although we might find it a bit hard and a bit painful, ultimately it's for our good, isn't it? The Bible also teaches that the more disciplined I become, the more God can use me. It's true, isn't it? If we're undisciplined little lambses, how can he use us as he wants to for his glory? The mark of a disciple is to bear their cross. Oh, my word, we don't like that scripture, do we? Jesus said, anyone who doesn't carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Oh, God wants us to carry our cross. Once a year? No. Once every few months? No. Once every few weeks? No. Daily. He wants us to carry our cross daily. Well, what does that mean? He wants us to carry our cross daily. Whatever it takes to ensure that Jesus is first place in our lives. That's what carrying our cross daily means. Really challenging, isn't it? To make sure that we do all we can to ensure that Jesus is first in our lives. So, you remember at the beginning I was talking of the various habits that we can do in order to help ourselves to grow into maturity and in ministry. And I said we were going to focus on the Bible. The Bible, of course, is our instruction manual that God has given to us. It's wonderful that we've got other Christian books that other Christian authors have written. Fantastic. Some of them are amazing. One or two of them have changed my life. But It's the Bible that is the word of the Lord, isn't it? All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realise what is wrong in our lives. If we were to go out and buy a new car, we wouldn't just get in that car and drive it. We'd want to find out a bit about it to make sure that it's kept in a good condition. We'd want to find out how often we've got to change the tyres or rotate the tyres, how far we can go in it for the first 500 miles. We've got to be careful because we don't want to destroy the engine. Not that I know all about cars, I'm sure some of you here do. But we would read the car manual, wouldn't we? Because we want to ensure that we look after the vehicle. Someone has once said that the Bible stands for basic instruction before leaving Earth. It's good, isn't it? Very simple, but very profound. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. It's so important. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. The Bible is also like a weapon, isn't it, for a soldier. Think about Ephesians 6 and the whole armour of God. Verse 17, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're in a battle as believers, aren't we? How often do I take the word of God when those thoughts from the enemy bombard our minds? How often do we quote those scriptures? So we are in a spiritual battle, and because we're believers, we are the target for the enemy. But it's no good us having a Bible and then not using it. It's so important again that we eat the word of God. Every time I think about hungering for God's word, I could see this friend of mine I was praying for and her teeth round the Bible. Literally, I literally had that vision in my mind's eye. That's what we want to be like. The Bible is also like a mirror. A mirror for an actor. Without it, we'd never know what we look like or how we could change. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and then after looking goes away and forgets what he looks like. I don't know if perhaps all of us women would look in the mirror and then, oh yeah, you know, we might want to spend a little bit more time, you know, getting the old comb out and putting on any makeup. Those of you that wear makeup, I usually look in the mirror and just pull a face. I don't spend a lot of time in front of the mirror, you can probably tell. But the mirror of God's word reflects what we're like, what is really going on in our hearts, what is really going on in our minds, and how we react to things. It's so easy to react to something in the wrong way. We've all done that. It's so difficult. But the word of God gives us that guidance. So, what does a mirror do? It shows us what we look like. And the word of God is like a mirror. You know, I expect you all know some Christians that you think, oh goodness me, you know, that person gossips all the time. And yet they don't realise that they gossip. You know, but we can see it in them and others can see it in them. And you think, oh my word, they've known Jesus a long time. It's a shame that they're still like that. Again, I don't mean to come over, oh, it's been like I've got it all together, because you know I haven't. But it's so very important that we try as we can to live our lives right before the Lord. And the more we mature and the more we grow, the more that will happen. Hallelujah. And we'll become all he wants us to be. The Bible is like nutrients and water for a plant. Now, I'm not into plants, into flowers. I know I am flower, but I'm not into all that. Maybe some of you are. And you go to great lengths to look after those lovely flowers and those pots in the garden, taking off the dead leaves, making sure they've got the water and all the nutrients looking lovely. And then one day you might go out there and there's been a lot of sun and you check it out and it's died. And you think, but I went to all that trouble and now look at the state of it. You know, the sad thing is that there are some Christians who are more concerned about the state of their pots and flowers in the garden than they are about the state of their own spiritual life before God. That's the truth. That is so sad. So, remember the words of Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. After 40 days and 40 nights he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Hallelujah. God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. His word is powerful, changing and transforming lives. Changing and transforming our lives. Hallelujah. I don't know, I may have said this before, but many years ago when I felt called to go to Bible college and I didn't have the finances needed, that word from the New Testament, "My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory." It wasn't just a scripture that I was trying to get hold of because I was so scared and I didn't know what else to do. That was the scripture that God placed in my heart. That was there, and I know it was there. And that saw me through those 3 years at Bible college. God's word. That was real. It was like God had just like written it down for me. That's how it felt at that time. Hallelujah. So, unfortunately, there's no spiritual shortcuts. Sorry about that. There's no instant fixes to our maturity. But we have to make that decision. The decision, as always, is ours. The Lord is so gracious. He never forces us to do anything. But he longs for us to mature. He longs for us to grow. The more mature in him we become, the more at peace actually we are inside, because we learn more to trust him, to trust his word, and to trust all the other words that he's given to us down through the years. And so back to this scripture again. And I'm going to read it to you from the Phillips version, Colossians 4:12, that you may become mature Christians and that you may fulfill God's word for you. Epaphras had that passion on his heart for those believers at Colossae. And I can feel this passion rising up in my heart for you. I want you to be mature, to grow in grace, so that you can understand more of his love, so that you can trust him more in the days ahead. Although you don't know what's happening, he does. And I want to encourage you to mature in the ministry that God has given to you. Maybe some of you are not sure what that is. That's fine. God will show you. Maybe some of you know what it is, but as yet you haven't taken that first step. Give it a go. Hallelujah. So, may God bless you as you grow in maturity as individuals and also collectively, church together. Because the stronger you become now, the more equipped you're going to be for what God has got for you in the future. And I really sense that God has got things for you in the future. Some of those things have been spoken over you already, but I sense there are some things that as yet you don't know about, and it's almost like this is a foundation that's being laid. I don't know, maybe for the first time, or maybe it's been laid many times. This firm foundation. And God wants our feet to be placed on him, because he is our firm foundation. And to grow. Hallelujah. So that we become all that he wants us to be. As individuals in our daily lives and as church together. Let's pray. Oh Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we have such easy access to your word. And Lord, we just want to say to you that we're sorry for the times when we have almost taken your word for granted. We've been blasé about it, perhaps. And we haven't understood the power in your word, the power to transform us. And we pray, Lord, that today you will reignite within our hearts this hunger for your word. Oh God, that we will want to eat the word. Oh Father, renew us, refresh us and fill us. Oh God, that suddenly we will find that after today, we are wanting to read the Bible in a way that we haven't wanted to read it before. And so Lord, we pray that you would give us that hunger and that passion for you and your word increasingly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'd like to give the opportunity, if I may, to pray for people who would like to receive either a passion for the word for the first time, or a renewed passion for the word. Also a passion for prayer. These are the two main keys, aren't they, in our growth. Or for anything else that you would like to receive prayer for, I am more than happy to pray for you. Bless you and thank you very much.